Session number 16712, Albert Scatchard, Reel 5.
Mr. Scatchard, Reel 5. For yourself, never been out of Durham County, it must have been quite an exciting thing to go as far as Blackdown.
Oh, yes.
To travel that kind of distance. And
oh, yes, I've always liked the countryside, and there was plenty of countryside, I mean, when I was a boy around Durham County. So I really enjoyed it down there. There was plenty to go at.
When did you know that you were about to go abroad?
And then, after about 7 months down at Blackdown, we got word that the battalion was going to be posted. We didn't know where to, but different places were named as usual. Like, you know, in the army, they turn on going to China, you're going to India, or you're going to Scotland or somewhere. But anyway, we eventually got to know that we were going to China, where the other lads we met in other different regiments, who said, "Boy, you bloody lucky buggers, going to China." And I said, "Yeah, yeah, nah." Well, it was the furthest station we had in the British Empire then, Shanghai. And
what were your own personal feelings when you heard you were going to this very...
For myself, I didn't care where we were going. I wasn't bothered. I wasn't bothered at all where we were going. No, well, nobody was really. But we've been so long there, just all basic training was getting a bit boring. And we wanted something new. And I was pleased myself.
How did they announce it? What system did they use?
What they did, we were on parade, and they got us all on parade. And they said, right, the battalion has been posted to China, and we take over on a certain date, I forget the date now, but we take over our duties on the 24th of November. You see, from the existing regiment that was there.
Which year was this?
1937. Yeah. 1937. That's when we left England in 1937. And the troop ship we went on was His Majesty's Transport Dilwara. He'll not come back, I don't know, but that's Dilwara. That was the name of the boat.
What were conditions like for you on the boat?
Well, the conditions on the boat were, like all troop ships, hammocks down on the mess deck. It was you're sleeping on the mess deck, what they call a mess deck. We used to have our food and everything down there. And by the journey over to China, it was stopping at different ports, and in between, while we were actually sailing, we used to do military training on board the ship. There was plenty of activity, deck coits, and all sorts of sports still going on just to keep you fit. And
was it crowded?
Well, not really. No, it wasn't all that crowded. There was plenty of room. And I remember just before we got to Hong Kong, and we just caught the tail end of a hurricane between Hong Kong and Shanghai. And where the yellow seas, mind, they were yellow and all. The sun, you know, and all the seas were like really yellow. Lovely blue coming through the mud until they got there. Ah, terrible. And anyway, this gale force wind, even the sailors are sick. The boats are sailing, the crew, they were all sick, let alone us. So we were in a hell of a state. And
the journey itself, what memories have you got of the journey? Because it's a long way, and as I say,
it's a long way. Well, each different place you called in, there was these boat people used to come out and meet the boat, and they was offering you. We were told not to buy anything. They were offering bananas, oranges, apples, fruit, grapes, everything that you wanted. And the method was, if you wanted something, you haul the empty basket up, you put your coins in, put your money in, dropped it down, then they'd put the whatever you wanted in, fruit of some description, and you used to haul it back up again and then drop it down again empty. But there were some of them used to drop the money down and then used to scarper off, and that was the last you seen of it. So Sharp learned, like, you know, we've got the goods first and for they got the money. And now, well, it went on almost every port we went to.
Do you recall it, some of the ports that you called in?
Oh, yes. Oh, I went allowed ashore for about 2 or 3 hours. But you formed up new, and you weren't allowed just to walk about as you wish to. You formed up in proper platoon order, and used to march around. Well, there was no joy in that. You couldn't see nothing, you know.
Where did you stop?
Port Said, Suez, Ceylon, Hong Kong, went over to Kowloon, and then back again to the boat at Hong Kong, and then on to Shanghai.
It must have been very exciting for you to go down, say, the Suez Canal.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember the journey down? And
oh, yes, I remember the Suez Canal. Well, actually, what I remember the Suez Canal was, later on, when the war broke out, like, you know, you could see there, we used to be right inland on the sand. You should see the big boats going through. You'd think they were just sailing on the sand. You see the top part, like the masts and that going through. See the big ships going through, and you think you sail on the sand. Yeah, it was marvellous.
The temperature and the climate would change on board the boat. How were you able to cope with that?
Oh, yes. We had the, you see, we went out with khaki uniforms, and as we got to the warmer climates, we'd already been issued with tropical kit. Well, that was shorts, open neck shirt, short sleeve open neck shirt, topi helmet, what do you call them?
Topi.
Topi. And putties, stockings, and a mosquito net. They were essential, them. You had to wear them. You had to have them on at night time.
Had you had any medical inoculations for going abroad?
Well, yes, the usual, what they call TB. You had that. You had anti-cholera. You had the usual tropical medical needles.
Did the injections affect you in any way?
Oh, yes, you used to knock you up for about an hour or two, then you're okay after that.
So you got to Hong Kong, you say, on the tail end of a tornado?
Yes, aye. Just the tail end, like, and really rocked the boat sort of stuff. And, knocked everybody up, like, for about 6 or 7 hours, like.
Did they give you any talks or lectures about where you were going and how to behave before you got there?
No, well, not actually on the boat. What we got was all those lectures and that become commonplace when we got to Shanghai. And they told us how to treat the people and what they were like and what their feelings were towards us and everything like that. I mean, Chiang Kai-shek was the ruler then. And Well, it was later on that the Japs came involved with us, like.
You said you moved off the boat at Hong Kong over to Kowloon. How long were you there?
We did about three or four days, that was all. And we came back to the boat and then continued the journey to Shanghai. And we got off at the Bund at Shanghai. It was just below the Shanghai Waterworks. We got on there and then they took us by bus, like Chinese buses, to carry on, like, up to a place called Yuyuan Road Schools. That's where it was. And they were just ordinary school rooms, and allocated companies to each room. And we had to be billeted there until our own barracks were ready. Our own barracks weren't ready at that time.
What were your first impressions of China?
Well, amazement at what you saw, like, you know, the bustle and everything that was going on. I mean, thousands and thousands of people in front of your eyes. I mean, where you've been, you've seen a dozen or so around here, you see thousands around you. And the language, I mean, that was an impossibility, that. We couldn't do anything about that. But we did get a smattering of Chinese later on, you know, we're mixing with them, aside, talking.
Was there much interest from the Chinese population on your landing? Did they show any interest at all?
No, not really. They'd been about 40 battalions or so before us had been there. So they were used to English soldiers being there. I mean, whereas having the international settlement there, there was all the soldiers there, you see. And they were used to the French soldiers and Italian soldiers, American Marines, because they had an embassy there as well, you see.
So you're going to look after the British interests there?
In the international settlement, as it was called then.
Was it explained to you what that interest was and why you were there and what task you would have to?
Well, it was all political motived. It was the international settlement. Now, around the international settlement, the Japanese had marched in. They were at war with China at the time, and they'd marched in, and they were dead scared afraid of coming into directly into Shanghai. They did do it later on, of course. And we had the patrols out on the borders. And we just had the old tents up. We used to sleep in there. And we used to patrol right along the border. And the Japanese used to let the Chinese, they're all peasants, and the places that they took over the Japanese was where all their vegetables, you know, cultivation was. And they let so many over at a time. Well, the Chinese, they used to come up in the thousands, and we had to control those, you know, from breaking through. And because the Japs were just beating them up as they went across, like, you know, if they weren't, if they didn't bow down to them properly, like. And just a matter of keeping order and that, among them, that's all.
So you were at these road schools that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Your first place and stuff. How long were you there?
Well, we were there about 3 or 4 weeks. And then we went up to the barracks.
What were you doing in those 3 or 4 weeks?
The duties I've just described there, going around the outposts. Yeah.
Between yourselves and the Japanese.
That's
positions
it,
that they were holding. And you say that they were beating the Chinese. Did you actually see Japanese cruelties towards the Chinese?
Oh, yes. Oh, I mean, we were standing on one side of a place just between Hongkou and the international settlement. Now, then, the British officers' wives and, you know, the civilians, they used to do their riding over in Honkyo. They must have had a riding school over there or something. And they used to go, come up and, well, they were more troubling enough. They used to come up on the horses and used to show us the passes. They used to let them through. And the Japanese, they made them get off the horses, that they cowered out to them, and then get back on the horses and then away through.
Cowered out, you mean bow to them?
Bow to them, that's the word.
And they made everyone, Chinese, British,
yes,
civilians.
Yes, it didn't matter who it was, yes. I mean, they bowed to each other, so that was it. I mean, bowing down to them was sort of, everybody else giving allegiance to the same emperor as what they believed in. You know, that was the idea.
So they would go off to their riding area
that's
and then
right.
return.
Right. And if they got into any trouble, you know, over yon side, well, they used to come back and tell us about it, but there's nothing we could do about it because we weren't allowed over. You see, there it was like a deadline between the international settlement and...
Did any of them get into problems with the Japanese?
Well, there was one or two incidents.
Did you recall them?
Well, there was at a place called Suchow Creek, at the bridge down there. Well, it finished up with the Japanese behind a gun at one side. I'd know what their gun was again, I forget what it was. And we had a couple of Lewis guns on our side, and the brigadier, he was in the middle with another officer. And what the dispute was really about, I don't know, like. But anyway, they got down talking, and told me, like, there's going to be, you know, some bullets flying about. But anyway, it was somebody came to the rescue, and it was all talked out.
Any other incidents that come to mind between Japanese and Chinese or yourselves?
Well, these the Chinese, they used to go over and say there was a fella come over with an empty basket, and we let him through, and he went over and he didn't kowtow down, bow down to the Japanese, you know, sufficiently. He used to take the basket off him, and he used to get two pebbles, put a pebble there and a pebble there, and make him kneel down with his knees on the two pebbles and keep him there for about an hour. Well, when he got up again, well, there was about cutting to his knees, you know. That was only a mild form of punishment that late.
Did you see them actually killing any of the Chinese?
No. No. No, they were very discreet, I think, on the point of that. They kept out of the road.
But that kind of punishment must have made you angry or affected you in some way if you were seeing it happening?
Well, I mean... Not really, because we were told at that time that it was a Japanese code of way of life.
So you're on this in this settlement, guarding the line. What did you do for leisure when you were there for breaks in the
Well, what you did? You did about 6 weeks up on the outposts. Then you went back to your barracks, and you did the usual barrack duties, guards and things like that. But you got your pass out at night time, and you're allowed out into Shanghai proper. And we scored out to the Union Jack Club, and of course that was an army public house sort of stuff. We're allowed in there. The Naffy had a place there. And that's about the only place you used to go to, really.
Did you meet any of the other troops from other nations there?
Oh, yes, American Marines. We used to get invited down to the Marine Club. We used to get down there. And then sports and football matches, you know, boxing and everything was arranged between the US Marines, the French and whatever. I used to... I've all that going on later.
How did you get on with the various nationalities?
Got on pretty well with them, yeah.
And no problems with any particular
no,
ones?
No, not really, no.
Did you get much chance to meet civilians from other nations or British ones?
No, very little. Very little. Because it was a case of... if they met you in the street, anything like that, they'd just walk you straight past you with a nose and a hair sort of style. But if there was any trouble, you know, whether they would come out riding, anything like that, it was a call on you. So...
The officers, were they meeting with civilians on a different level from, obviously, that you were?
Oh, must be a bit, yeah.
So you mentioned the various clubs in Shanghai. Presumably there were drinking places that you got to.
Yeah.
But you were getting on all right with the other nationals.
Oh, yes, aye.
How were you getting on with the Chinese themselves in the city?
Well, some of the Chinese, there was a... one or two of them knew a smattering of English, and we got to know the different words for different things, you know, off them. And but even if you learned to speak Shanghai Chinese, you could go to the next place, Canton, and they wouldn't understand a word you were saying. And if you went from there to further up, Nanking and somewhere like that, and spoke what you'd been learning out the Cantonese Chinese, they wouldn't understand you. There's about 15,000 different dialects in China.
Were there areas of Shanghai out of bounds to troops?
Oh, yes, there was areas out of bounds. You weren't allowed to go to the French settlement, you weren't allowed to go, you know, in a place like that. No way. Well, the local red light district, you definitely weren't allowed anywhere near there.
Presumably some did.
So, yes, they did, aye.
Was VD prevalent? Was it a problem with the battalion?
VD was prevalent, yes, definitely. And to such an extent that when you went out at night time, you had to open your pay book, because you had to show your paybook every time you went out. And you had a condom in your paybook. And when you went back, if it was unopened, if it had been used, you know, if you'd been to a place, then you stayed in the medical place, and then it was like only Condy's fluid, what they call it. You used to get a good wash down there. And there was an orderly in charge of the place. And that was it. But I never used to bother, because I finished up in the medical place myself. Like I finished up as a medical orderly in there, like, for a good while.
Whilst you were in Shanghai?
Well, I was in Shanghai. Yeah, I went up to headquarters, brigade headquarters. And I went up there, and I was orderly up there.
We'll come into that in just a moment or two. Was it an offence to catch VD in the army?
Well, they weren't punished for it. It was definitely looked down upon. I think the punishment to myself was the stigma of having it and what he went through to get rid of it. I think that was punishment in itself.
There was no stoppages of pay, for example, whilst you were in...
Oh, yes, it was. Oh, yes, your pay was stopped. The time you were receiving treatment, it used to take about 6 weeks.
It must have been difficult to explain to your family back home why your pay wasn't coming through.
Yes, aye. Uh-huh.
The food that you got in China, what was it like?
Well, it was mostly what we'd always been used to. We did have, there was plenty of chicken. More chicken than I've ever seen in my life there, like at times. And There was a lot of basic Chinese food, rice, straight out the paddy fields, and that local veg. And we still have our own vegetable plot, so we had carrots, well, all English veg.
Did mail come to you pretty easily?
Mail was pretty regular, yes. Pretty regular.
And it must have had quite important to you being so far from home.
Oh, yes, you had you were definitely encouraged to write at least once a week. Didn't matter whether you wanted to or not. They used to encourage you to write once a week.
Was there any...
All the letters are censored, of course.
Even at that stage?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any problems with crowd disturbances at all?
No, not really.
In the city?
We had on... We did have... Well, it wasn't real trouble, but we were on parade in the settlement when the Japs marched in. They held a march, a sort of short strength sort of style, and they marched right through Shanghai. So what had happened there, I don't know, politically.
But did that mean marching through the international settlements as well?
Yes, they marched straight through, yeah. Uh-huh. And then that must have been about getting on towards 39. And I think the war clouds were looming in Europe then. And our lot must have gotten cared about it, like, you know, and being kept well informed, you know. And
you mentioned you moved from the schools to the barracks. Where were they? In the town, in the city?
Well, they were just out, they were in Shanghai, but about 5 miles away from where UN Road Schools. And then while we were in there, the Yangtze River, it flooded, and the whole international settlement was covered in water to about 3 and 4 feet. We had the floods there. I used to see what the Chinese up river used to do with the bairns that had been drowned. They used to slap them onto mountains, put them out onto the river, and the river used to carry them down to the settlement, and the water board authorities had to fish them out, and well, there was that many, they just let them go to finish. They couldn't afford to go, you know, to the burial grounds. Were all in unpleasant duties.
The barracks themselves, were they good ones?
Were very good, yes. They were very good barracks, yeah.
Did you have Chinese people working in the barracks for you?
Yes, yes.
What tasks would they carry out?
Yes, laundry. We had the laundry in the barracks, and you had boys doing different jobs, gardening, but not allowed in the barrack rooms, none of them. We used to do our own cleaning in the barrack rooms.
Parades? Did you get involved with any particular parades?
Well, the parades weren't so many there, really, is what we'd been used to with Blackdown. You used to have a sort of morning parade about once every 3 months there, and an RSM parade, maybe. And then we used to have a march around the settlement, just around the, right around the border, and back about 20 miles, and then back again.
Was that again to show your strength?
Showing the flag. Yeah.
Were there other British battalions with you?
Well, there was. There's Northern Fusiliers, the Cheshires, Middlesex, and then later on, well, they moved off, like, you know, say, because I think it was the Cheshires that moved out of our barracks, and they went to temporary temporary billets till troop ship was due.